This is the Arise Ministries Collective Podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage the body of Christ in biblical truth and understanding. We believe that when women have an authentic and growing relationship with Jesus Christ, truly know God's Word, and are dependent on the Holy Spirit, they become powerful and influential vessels for the kingdom. And that's what this space is for, to share how the Bible inspires us, changes us, compels us. To hear and tell stories of God's faithfulness, and to learn from ordinary women living extraordinarily for God's glory. Let's join host Lisa Da Silva for this episode of Arise Online.
Welcome to Arise Online. I'm your host, Lisa Da Silva, and I know I say that I get really excited about the guests that we have. You've heard me say that before, but I really am. Maybe I'm just easily excitable, but I don't think so.
No, I think
I'm really excited to have our guest today. We're going to get into how we met, how we connected in a little bit, but Amy Oliver is here with me today.
So happy to be here.
Thanks for being here. And I know we want to get talking because we are friends. We know each other really well. But I need to tell you a little bit about this sister in Christ. She is not only a mom, she is a business owner. She is the founder of Healing House Solutions, which is an organization that provides women with financial guidance and advocacy during the divorce process. She is also a dear, dear friend.
As you are to me, friend.
Oh, thank you, sister. And your bio says that you're a trauma-informed leader.
Yes.
This is a descriptor that I love. And it actually speaks to how we first became connected. So tell us what you want to about yourself, and let's get right into how we know each other, too.
So, I am I'm a mom of two teenage girls. I have a freshman in college, a sophomore in high school, and I'm a real estate agent in the state of Oregon. And then I have this business where I get to walk alongside women who are trying to understand the financial complexities of divorce. And as you know, Lisa, I don't like being kind of put in a divorce woman box. That's not really where I like to be. But what I do love is helping women find their voice and feel confident in making decisions that are good for themselves and their families. And you and I went through a process together where first we had to figure out our own stuff. And that's where we met, at the Living Wholehearted cohort.
For leaders. Because we are both leaders.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Different kinds of leaders.
Yeah.
For different people.
Yep.
But we have in common a passion for women.
That's right.
Using their voices, finding their voice.
Yes.
Let's talk about the roots of this friendship, kind of the progression. What is Living Wholehearted and what did we do there?
Yeah, so Living Wholehearted is an organization that does some both therapy practice, and then they do consulting and coaching. And you and I met because we were kind of the first ever group of 11, I think it was 11 of us, that got together as leaders, and we went through a two-year process. And we uncovered our own stories. So we talked about, I mean, I know all your business. Mm-hmm. You know all mine.
You do.
But in that process, we learned how to both understand our story and use our story to help other people without having them carry our baggage for us, so that we could help them uncover their own needs and wants. And trauma-informed is a piece of that, because we need to understand how people process information in the midst of hard things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you and I met. And I think we're so close because we went through that process together. And you and I kind of connected from the beginning and formed not just a friendship, but like, you're kind of my dream partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to, and we dreamed about this actual podcast together years and years ago. And here we are on your couch. And we need to tell people, we are literally on the couch in your living room, not in some fancy studio with corporate sponsors or a church backing. This is just Arise's vision to be able to get give women an opportunity to speak.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. Thank you. Because I'm just gonna go ahead and say this. I was at a women's event last week. It was a beautiful, wonderful women's event. They all are, right? Whenever women are putting themselves out there, taking positions of leadership and advocacy. And so I was at this event, and a woman there, one of the leaders, was talking about how great their podcast is. And the truth is, it is. It's beautifully orchestrated. It's clear. It's clearer than ours. It is professionally created. And she mentioned how many other podcasts are amateur hour. And so when Amy came today, I was kind of poking fun of that and saying, we are amateur hour. We are, you know, you heard listeners in the intro, it says we are ordinary women. Really just trying to do extraordinary things for Christ and for his kingdom as we minister to women. And so we are literally in my den with a not super expensive microphone. And we're going to get into the heart of Amy's story and who she is. And so I'm sure some of this living wholehearted stuff and who we are will come back up. But Amy, because I am honored to know some of your past, some of the things that maybe you haven't even shared with a lot of people, I am not going to ask you to tell us all that you've been through. We are a public platform. We want to honor people and relationships. I want to honor your story, your girls. I want to honor your healing process. But I do hope that you can give us a little overview of Healing House Solutions, why you started it, and tell us what you do.
Yeah, you bet. So thank you for asking the question that way. I think it's a good way to model to other people that we don't have to tell everyone every detail of our story. And I want to respect my girls. I want to respect my ex-husband. They have their own pieces and parts. But what I can tell you is this. I was married for 20 years and went through an unexpected divorce. At the time, I was leading a Christian ministry. I wasn't working outside of the home. Wait a minute.
You were actually even the mom's leader.
I was.
We have that in common. You were the leader of the mom's group at your church.
That's right.
It would have been at the same time that I was the leader of the mom's group at mine.
Crazy. Yeah. And ours was called Sprouts, a lot like Mops. That's what people would know. But what the women who were there didn't know was my marriage was falling apart. And so when that end came, I had to get real with myself. And one of the things I did was go back to work. I had been a real estate agent before. I went back into that business. And what happens when you go through a divorce or any struggle, I think it's important. This isn't just about divorce. It's about any struggle you go through that then you have empathy for someone else going through. In my case, it was divorce. Women would come to me, and I'm a realtor, and they'd say, can I keep my house? That's the biggest hurt. I mean, I guess maybe not the biggest hurt. It's the biggest symbol of the biggest hurt is this idea that you would lose your home in a divorce. Your kids would lose their home. And so what I found myself doing is meeting with women to talk about whether they could keep their house from a realtor's perspective. But real estate agents get into people's financial business all the time, right? So I ask all of these questions. And what came to be was I realized women didn't always have all the financial knowledge they needed, just because of traditional roles or because they weren't interested in it or they weren't working outside of the home, whatever it was. They didn't know the financial ins and outs to make such a big decision about keeping a home or selling it. Does that make sense? And Healing House came out of that need for women, and I will say particularly Christian women, to be educated on the financial realities, both related to divorce, but also just related to normal life. And so Healing House was really filling that need. And I had someone fill that need for me. Thank God. There wasn't a Healing House at the time. I had a friend who was a financial advocate and a wealth manager that helped me. But that's where Healing House came from. And now it is an organization that will meet with women and discuss their financial realities and help empower them with knowledge so they can make wise decisions. And that's what we do.
Love it. And and you know, another little piece of our story is when Amy was talking to me once about what she does, I kind of gasped and thought, I don't know a lot about my own finances.
Right.
I am not separated. I am not divorced. But it was a wake-up call for me. Mm-hmm. And Amy, you explained to me a little bit about, and I'm going to get the wording wrong, so I'm glad you're here, but it's all about like financial abuse.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that? Because that shook me a little bit.
Okay. So let me be clear. There's no shame in not understanding your financial situation. So if you're listening right now and you were like Lisa and you're like, oh, I don't know. It's okay. A lot of people don't. But it's a great base of knowledge for anyone to have, whether you're in a marriage, you're single, whatever it is. But the thing about financial abuse is this. I'm going to read a definition because I want to get it right. Financial abuse involves controlling a victim's ability to acquire, use, and maintain financial resources. And while it's less commonly understood than other forms of abuse, financial abuse is one of the most powerful methods of keeping victims trapped in an abusive relationship. And research shows that victims are often too concerned about their ability to provide financially for themselves or for their children to end an abusive relationship.
And we'll put wherever you got that from great. In our show notes so that women can access it.
So the take-home message is this. If you're afraid to talk with your husband about your finances and you don't have access to financial information, that's a red flag. And Lisa, when you talked to your husband and shared this, he said...
Well, he had a spreadsheet.
So. Yeah.
And so I was kind of worried. I thought, I just trust, right? Every day I trust and I respect our, you know, in our home, in many homes, there's one person who does most of the financial work.
Totally.
And in our marriage, that's been my husband. And all of a sudden I thought, oh no.
Right.
I don't know these things. And so I went to him and yes, he has a spreadsheet. He had everything written down for where accounts are, what the passwords were, what's in my name, what's in his name, what's in our shared names.
Yeah.
And so that was a relief to me. And I now have access to that. I know where that is. I don't want to assume the control over it. That's the difference between he and I.
Yeah.
But I'm so relieved. And Amy, you are going to tell us a little bit more about Healing House. And I love this analogy that women were coming to you saying, how can I keep my home as a realtor? And then you named your organization Healing House. And so we will talk to you about that. But I do want to just assure listeners, I feel like there are some women who might tune out because they think, well, I'm not separated. I'm not divorced. This is a podcast for divorced women who need some healing financially, emotionally, help to get back on their feet.
Right.
But this isn't just a podcast for separated or divorced women. It's a podcast for any and all of us who have friends, who have family experiencing ramifications of betrayal, or who, you know, I know women who I love who all of a sudden had to experience separation, single parenthood. So, Amy, as your friend,
yes,
I'm married. How do I, as your friend, or listeners, as friends to women going through the trauma and the tragedy that you did? How can we support you? How can we support our friends who are divorced? What do you need from me? What words of wisdom can you offer women like me who have wonderful friends like you?
Yeah. I think first and foremost, what I want you to know and everyone to know is you don't have to fix it. You don't have to have the answers. You just need to listen and hold our stories and believe us. The most powerful thing you can do is to acknowledge how someone is experiencing their life. You don't have to fix it or ask them, have you tried this? Just listen. I think one of the things I try and tell when I go to speak with churches or therapy practices and stuff is be an expert on what you're an expert on and then find the resources for people that you aren't in areas where you're not an expert. So mm-hmm. let me explain. I always feel for the pastor who has a woman who comes and says, like, this is happening in my home. I don't have access to financial resources. Should I talk to an attorney? And he's a pastor. He's there to pastor their heart and soul, not to necessarily provide financial wisdom or legal advice. And that's okay. You can do what you do well and then help them find resources for the other things. So that's number one. I would say if you're going to approach someone in your life, don't try and be the expert. Listen and help direct toward resources. I think another thing that I would want women or want you to know as my friend is I'm okay with you having a husband and being happy and everything being good, but invite me into it. So I was just thinking about this the other day, like it's almost Easter and I start thinking about like where I'm going to go and stuff like this. And I don't have a big family anymore. It's me and my two girls. I'd love to get invited to Easter at somebody's house, you know, and it won't because I want to be a part of families and stuff like that. So don't not invite people in. And then I guess the last thing is, this is one. This might be a funny one, but it's just something that rubs me. And if you're a single mom, you'll get this. When someone says, oh, my husband's out of town for the next 3 days and it's so hard being a single mom. And I just want to go, really? Is it really? Be aware of what you're saying because sometimes you might be unintentionally saying how hard it is. And the reality is my really good friend Jamie, sometimes people say to me like, how do you do this? It's so hard to be a single mom. And then what am I supposed to say? Then I'm always like, well, I'm so great or God is great or whatever it is. But what I love, my friend Jamie always says, I'm just so impressed at how you handle this and how God's working in your life. Then it's not, I don't have to explain how. I can just be like, yeah, God is good. You know? Yeah. And my story, Lisa, you just had gum surgery. How did you get through it? Right? I mean, it's we all have things. So
We're laughing about that because Amy and I were not sure we could do this podcast today because I could hardly talk. A week ago. But I love those things that you said as you were speaking. I had, you know, some looking in the mirror moments. I'm quite sure that I've said to my friends before, oh, this is so hard. Or probably even said things like, for example, my husband is out of town this week. He's on a ski trip. I've probably said to friends before, hey, I'm a single mom this week too.
Totally. Yeah.
Shall we do something together?
Right.
Which kind of minimizes their experience.
And then it's like, I can only be with you if my husband is gone. Right?
Right.
Or when would I ever enter into like a life with, I mean, I love when I'm invited to a home where there is a husband and wife because I love that for myself. I'm not around men a lot. It's kind of a peculiar thing to be a single woman in your 50s. You don't have a lot, you know, outside of my, you know, occupational relationships. I'm not around men in just like social situations that much anymore. And I honestly kind of miss it. I'd like a different perspective, you know?
Community,
totally.
Which, going back to living wholehearted, that was really fun for us because we were able, sadly, it was female-dominated, which I think speaks a lot to the women. It's a beautiful thing that women want to get help and become better leaders and understand their story. It is sad to me that we only had a few men.
Yeah.
But it was incredible having those men there.
Yeah.
We were able to be brothers and sisters in community with each other, learning from each other. There was vulnerability all in a really, really safe environment.
Yes.
So I hear you saying, maybe what I hear you saying, and I'm reading into this a little bit, is all of a sudden you're unmarried and you don't have any couple relationships anymore.
It's harder too. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we as your friends can
Yeah.
be sensitive to that and invite you in.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for that. I feel like that's a whole topic we could talk about forever in a podcast. But you used the word voice a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt myself echoing that and wanting to talk more about that. So you have heard me speak a lot about the value of women and their voice because I believe every woman has a voice. Sometimes you'll hear people say, we need to give her a voice. She has a voice already. I long for a day when all women everywhere feel safe and encouraged to use their voice. And I believe that sometimes a voice is spoken, it's audible, and other times our voice is displayed in action or displayed in our agency. Mm-hmm. And so I know, because we've talked about this before, that you agree.
Yes.
And you have things to say about this, and maybe even particular things to say about this as a follower of Christ.
Yeah, yeah. So, thank you for asking me that. I think the word I hear from women most often that I talk with is stuck.
Stuck.
And stuck is a place where you don't know what to do, right? Or what to say. And you get stuck oftentimes in an abusive relationship because someone has told you that you are incapable, unworthy, unable. And so you start to believe that you don't have a right or even the value to speak or say or do. Okay, that's what happens in abuse. It's just part and parcel to it. We talked about what financial abuse is. It means I don't know enough to make a decision about our finances, right? And part of what I think is important for all of us to know is that God gave each of us agency in submission to Him to say truth. And truth gets lost sometimes when we're trying to do things exactly the right way or do it the way somebody else has told us how to do it or what to, you know, what to say or whatever. Or in an abusive, sometimes in a marriage, it's you're just trying to respect your husband. That's been spoken over that. But respect doesn't mean silence. Mm. And knowledge is power. And if you feel like you don't know, that's a great place to start. Because then you go find places to get knowledge. Very important part of this, Google is not your knowledge base, okay? Google is an algorithm. And for women going through divorce, it will feed you lots of horror stories. And I work with women who go through divorce and come out healthier, wholer, with a more intact family and full of joy. So I don't know if that'll come out when you Google, but it happens. Mm. But it happens because part of the process at Healing House is empowering women with knowledge, encouraging them to speak, and to allow them the agency to make their own decision. I don't tell women what decision to make. So going back to the house, right? My house was in foreclosure when I got divorced. I lost my house to foreclosure. I didn't have a choice. I lived in a rental for a couple of years. But I have met with women who, it's not the best financial decision to stay in the house, but it's the best emotional decision for their family, for their kids, for whatever it is. And that's an okay choice. And then I've had women who are like, you know what? I don't want to be in this house anymore. And it might be financially better to stay here, but I just can't stay. And that's okay too. So you and I want to empower women to make choices submitted to Christ so that they are living in truth. That's important.
So the voice, as you are guiding women financially to become whole, more whole, mm-hmm. in this Healing House advocacy, you believe finding their voice starts with a knowledge base.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what I appreciate so much. And I will put a link to Amy's website here, but I messed around on your website for a little bit. And the very first thing women can do is set up a, what do you call
discovery
it?
Discovery call.
A discovery call. And when they go to set up a discovery call, it's not just saying, hey, Amy, can I have 20 minutes of your time? There's actually work for them to do.
Right.
In advance,
right,
which is creating the fundamental knowledge.
Right.
She actually has to figure out how much she makes, how much her husband makes. You know, I don't know all of the details of it, but doing some hard work to acquire the knowledge to find her
right.
voice.
Right.
Which oftentimes starts with understanding. Yeah. So,
and just to, I don't want to discourage anyone. It's not hard. It's 7 questions. If you can't answer, it's not the end of the world. But the idea is that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been in a financially abusive situation, you may not even know what's in your bank account, and that's okay. We can help take the small baby steps to get you there. But what I want women to know is you can do it. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science. You don't need a finance degree. You don't have to be an MBA. It's the basics of budgets and assets and income. But just thinking about the way that I have, my relationship with Christ has changed over the years. The more I know him, I know his character. I know he is faithful. I know he is defending me. The more I know him, the more I trust my decisions because he's going to be there to catch me. In the future, I'm working on some writing, and one of them is around this healing house, and the idea of a foundation has to be strong. Right? Mm. And the strong foundation from a Christian perspective is to know God loves you. Right? That's the strong foundation. In a financial practical application, it's to know what money you have. It's not hard, but it's looking at the truth. And sometimes you don't want to look at the truth because you're like, well, what if I don't have as much as I need? Well, then you go back and go, well, God gives me everything I need. So the way that I approach women and agency is knowledge to make decisions, trusting God's got you.
Yeah.
And man, I see God do things. If I showed you where I was when my house was foreclosed on to 8 years later where I built my own home, which we call the Healing House, it wouldn't make sense. It was a God-inspired story, not because I had some great financial knowledge. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. It does. And it brings me to what I know is one of your life verses, and that you actually painted and have in your home. And because at Arise, you know, we just believe that knowing what Amy said, the character of God, knowing that his kindness, his loving kindness goes on forever. It is steadfast. 1 Peter, well, all of 1 Peter is amazing,
yeah.
right? So we have here the Apostle Peter, and he is writing to Christian exiles, just going through incredible trials, incredible hardship, suffering beyond belief. And Peter says, and this is a paraphrase, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. And we know that as followers of Christ, that is talking about it's talking about eternal life
mm-hmm.
with Christ.
Yeah.
But that we can still find joy on earth because of the promises of God. And I'm a Bible girl, so going on to 1 Peter 5:10, that in his kindness God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. Mm-hmm. He will place you on a firm foundation.
Yeah. That's the message I told you, like when we started talking about this, that I wanted women to hear. And I don't care if it's women going through separation, divorce, or just like, it's hard raising your kids, or you've had a family member pass away, or whatever hardship it is, there's still joy. And I remember being like in a fetal position on the floor in my home and thinking, this is it. There's nothing left for me. And 8 years later, I'm so much more filled with joy and have so much more community. And by letting go of what I thought God wanted my life to look like, I have started to see the life God has for me. And I just read John Ortberg's book. It's called Eternity Is Now. And it talks about kind of like the eternal life starts now. It's not in the future. It is.
It is in the future.
But it's also right now, yeah. right? And Mm. And I think fear keeps us from faith.
Mm. Right? Fear keeps us from faith.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, if you're at home and you're like, I don't know how this is going to work out, that's where we start. That's where we just go, hey, God, I don't know where this is, how this is going to work out, but I'm just going to have faith, a teeny tiny mustard seed faith today, that you're going to get me through this to the other side. Mm-hmm. And that's, faith is what shifts that perspective to the next thing. And what I love is I get to see the fetal position to the joy. I see it all the time. And that's why I can enter into spaces that a lot of people are like, don't really want to get into, because I know. I just watched God do incredible things. Mm-hmm. And most importantly in my own life.
Right. And I've only been able to see the after part of that. I've seen an Amy who, I just want listeners to know, this didn't just happen overnight. You sought the help. You sought the support. Amy and I are both huge, huge advocates of finding an incredible faith-based counselor, a licensed therapist, doing the hard, hard work, getting life coaching. You know, anyone can become a life coach today. Totally. But so do your research, find a life coach who has the credentials, who is certified, who works with you, helps you come to your own agency. We both recommend Living Wholehearted for things like that. And so I would love to end with this. You've given us some incredible nuggets. We're going to put some of these things on the podcast show notes. So you've been through this process yourself, and we both know our journeys never end. So you continue to go through this process. You are now a certified divorce financial analyst, and you spend a great deal of your life walking with women through what you called the fetal position to the joy. Yeah. So this space of healing and restoration. Mm-hmm. What are some of your key takeaways, strong pieces of advice? What do you most want to leave us with today?
First and foremost is God can handle all of your anger, frustration, doubts. Hang on to him. Hang on to him. Even if it's just by the tiny, teeny toe, hang on to him. Stay close to him and be around people who point you to him. Okay. The second is you need a team. So if you are going through or deciding around a separation and divorce, you need a team of people. And I have a resource on my website. It's a free download that goes through who to be on your team, whether that's a financial advisor, an attorney, a therapist, a close friend. I talk a little bit about who to bring close to you. You don't want to have 50 people knowing what's going on, but having 1 to 2 safe people is really important. I think that's the most important thing you can do is don't try and do it alone. The isolation continues the abuse. So in my story, I told one person, and then that one person was able to help me get to the next right person. And then from a financial perspective, if you are a single woman, or you don't know about your finances, just learn and have a financial other. So maybe in your, you know, relationships, if you're married, like for you guys, you didn't even think to ask. And then once you got the chance to ask, but for some people, it might be, you maybe just need a third party to talk to about finances. Maybe there's just some old gunk in your past, right? Around money messes with people in a lot of different ways, but for single women, have a financial other. So I'm a financial analyst, but I don't analyze my own finances. I got somebody to help me. So even if I'm going to buy a car or think about, you know, even a vacation sometimes, I just need somebody else to talk it out with. And so I just think having a financial other is a really great just thing you wouldn't necessarily think about, but something that you can do.
I love that these things were God and people, right? Always. Your chief advice is secure yourself to God. Let your trauma, let your sadness, let your suffering draw you mm-hmm. closer to Christ, and then find people.
Yeah.
Amy, thank you. And I'm just, I'm excited for women to listen in whatever life experience they find themselves in. Women, part of the Arise community, you might be the one going through the trauma and tragedy. You might also be the one who is the other, who can come alongside and lend a hand, and don't try to solve or fix, like Amy said at the beginning, but be there and guide them to the people and places and networks that can help them. And so I'm super excited about Healing House and for drawing women towards that. And I'm grateful for your friendship and for the wisdom that you gave us today.
You too, friend.
Thanks for listening to Arise Online. We encourage you to find more resources, articles, and free downloads by visiting our website, ariseministriescollective.org. We'd also love it if you left us a positive review here on iTunes and through our social media platforms. Every like, comment, and endorsement helps us reach more women for Christ's glory. If you liked what you heard today, consider helping us keep this ministry alive by making a tax-deductible donation through our website. We appreciate you listening and are grateful for your part in the Arise Collective.